Good morning. Can I ask you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ruth? The book of Ruth. In just a minute, we're going to be looking at this story. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about forgiveness. And this past week, I had someone come up and ask a question of this. And so I want to talk about it this morning. The idea, as we've talked about in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 32, about what it means to truly forgive, and in context where it talks about bitterness and it talks about all these different things that we need to give up, and the idea of being kind and tenderhearted and forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven us. It's easy to say. The question is, how is it when it actually comes down to the fact of moving on? How do you move on? See, I can tell somebody that something's bad happened in your life. Listen, you need to move on. Well, how? How do you do that? It's very simple to say. Maybe a little harder to explain. But it can be very difficult to do for many people. And so I think that there's not a better story in the Bible for this than the book of Ruth. And so I'd like to look at the story of not Ruth herself, but of Naomi. Naomi understood what it means when life hurts. In Ruth, the first chapter, right off the bat, we're told this is during the time of the judges, in verse 1, and that there was a famine in the land. And there was a man named Elimelech, in verse 2, and his name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. So they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took for themselves Moabite women as wives, and the name of them Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. So I want you to think about what's going on at this point. They go to Moab, a foreign nation, because there is a huge famine that is going on specifically in Judah and certainly in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, ironically. They didn't have any bread. And so they go to Moab. And when they get to Moab, we're told that the husband dies. Elimelech dies. And Naomi is left with her two boys. And the boys marry two women from Moab. And they're going to be there for about 10 years. And in verse 5 it says, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. She understands hurt. In a 10-year span, she left where she was from, her husband dies, and two sons die. In our times, obviously, this would be a very difficult thing for anybody to go through. During their time, the understanding of what property came from and what protection came from would have been from the father, or the husband in this case, and the two sons. And now they are gone, and she's left in Moab. She understands what it means to be hurt. And I think it's important as we go forward, as I've said this for the past few weeks, nobody is suggesting that what you're going through or the things that you've gone through do not hurt. They absolutely hurt. That is not the issue. Naomi had every right to mourn. Naomi had every right to be saddened by the things that she was going through. That is no question. And so we understand that life is going to hurt. We're going to come back to Ruth in just a second. But if you turn over to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, what I find interesting with Paul is not that the fact that he's not going to go through things, it's how he goes through them. And this is where we're going to get to with Naomi. In 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, beginning of verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen containers so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. And I'll stop there for just a minute. The question is not whether or not the Apostle Paul was afflicted. He absolutely was afflicted. Matter of fact, he says, I'm afflicted in every way. That's not an issue. I absolutely have been afflicted. I'm perplexed, but I'm not despairing. I've been persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. We've been struck down, but not destroyed. See, the struggle sometimes is not the first part of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. We can appreciate the fact that we've been through difficulties. We've obviously gone through some difficulties in our lives. It's life. The question is, have we allowed it to crush us? Have we allowed it to make ourselves feel abandoned, though we are not? Have we allowed it to destroy us? That's the question. You continue on in verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And I'll stop there for just now. See, the key is not whether or not you're going to go through difficulty. The question is whether or not you view them to be eternal pain or if they momentary light affliction. Why is there persecution? It's not all. Many people standing true. The Apostle Paul says, we're not abandoned during this time. You can read 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and see all the things that he went through. The question is not whether or not you're going to go through trouble. The question is, what's your perspective of it? Where are you going to go after that? When you're going through those difficulties? In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and verse 2, as you can start heading back to Ruth, the first chapter, but Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and verse 2, he tells us, you're going to go through the waters. You're going to go through the fire. But you're not going to go through them alone. You're going to go through them. But you're not going to go through them alone. The only thing I would add to that is unless you want to, unless you choose to. There are people who will choose to go through these things alone, who will choose not to lean on God. Matter of fact, will turn against him as he is going through those things with you. Now you go back to Ruth, the first chapter. Orpah and Ruth were obviously very good daughter-in-laws. They choose two different things, and so we're going to focus, obviously, on Ruth's story. And Ruth does something that is absolutely amazing, that she decides to stay with her mother-in-law. She makes it very, very clear in some of the most beautiful words written in how she talks about the fact that I am not leaving. I am absolutely not leaving. In verse 16, Ruth said, do not plead with me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and worse, if anything but death separates me from you. There's a reason why I read that in weddings. That's not her intention here, but that's the reality of what she's saying here. I am staying with you, Naomi. So Naomi is now taking someone back with her who's from Moab. And they're going to this land, and they have no idea what's going to happen. So much so, it takes 7 to 10 days to get back to Bethlehem for them. And so they get back, and once they're back, these women see Naomi. And in verse 19, it says that the city was stirred because they were coming back, and the women look over and they say, is that Naomi? Is that her? 10 years can do a lot, too, for sure. I don't think this had much to do with the idea that she looked so vastly different from a physical perspective, meaning that she just aged. I think this has everything to do with how she was acting and how she was walking and how she was portraying herself. Is this Naomi? Is this her? Naomi says in verse 20, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Now those names may not mean anything to you yet. The name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. And so what she says is, do not call me pleasant. Call me bitter. Why? Because of God. Bitterness often leads to blame. It's easy for me to blame somebody. And in this case, God has put me in this situation. I went away full and I've come back empty, which was not true, but that's what she'll say. The Almighty has afflicted me. The Almighty has allowed me to go through these things. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. There's people that may not say it in this way, but this is exactly what people do. We can blame God for something. We can blame other people for something. And in certain times, they're guilty. People are. But we allow that to control who we are. So much so, in her case, she says, I don't even want you to call me Naomi anymore. I want you to call me Mara. Now, the good thing for Naomi as we go forward is that this is the only place she's called Mara. She's always referred to as Naomi. But there's a lot of times where people will fall into this category. God has tremendous compassion. God has tremendous love for all of his people, including Naomi and what she was going through in this life. And the same for you. In John the 11th chapter, one of the most amazing chapters to me when it comes to Jesus and his ability to raise Lazarus from the dead, is the fact that he stands there and that he cries, knowing full well he's going to bring him back from the dead. God has tremendous compassion, even when he knows the end. Like in that situation. He's coming back. I'm bringing him back. But he has compassion for you. He has compassion for us. He goes through these things with us. That's why the 23rd Psalm is so powerful to people. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. It's beautiful words. It only means something if you actually live it. If you believe it to be true. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I go through difficulties in this life, you're with me, so I am not going to fear. 2020, folks, that's the same as it was for David. It's all about your perspective, though. It's all about our perspective. God was with us in 2018 and 2019, 2020. What happened? Where'd he go? For some of you, perhaps you think he left. For those that are his children, he is standing right here. We are in his presence. And he is walking through these things with us. It doesn't mean you don't go through them. You obviously do. But you're not going through them alone. The struggle that Naomi had is, how do you move on from something so catastrophic that happened in a 10-year span? And some of you have dealt with things like this. Her husband died. Her two sons die. Brought me back empty. What do you do? How do you move from bitter to blessed? How do we get from a place where we are bitter in something to where we are blessed in something? What changed for Naomi in chapter 1 to chapter 4? I'm not going to go through the whole thing of what's going on here, but I think it's a very important lesson to learn how to move on from these things that are going through. The first thing I love that Naomi does in these chapters is that she allows Ruth to take care of her. One of the things that occurs, I find, the people that struggle with bitterness, the people that struggle with forgiving other people, is that you do not allow other people to help. I can do it myself, let alone God. Let people help you. Struggling with these things, it's amazing to me how often we'll close up at the very moment where we need help. Naomi at least was willing to allow Ruth to help her. So much so that Naomi, after she comes back, begins to tell her what to do. I need you to do this for me. Naomi shifts her blame, or shifts her focus rather, from herself to others. She begins to realize that she did not come back alone. One that she came back with does not replace her husband or her two sons, but she did not come back empty. She came back with an amazing woman by the name of Ruth, and this woman is going to take care of her, and this woman is going to help her. God did not allow her to come back empty-handed. The next thing that she does, as we're going to start reading, is that Naomi opened her heart to loving others again. And this isn't about getting another husband. I want you to read with me in verse 14 of chapter 4. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. First time David's mentioned in the Bible. The father of David. This does not replace everything that Naomi had lost. It doesn't mean that you move on from this pain and agony and never think about it again, or it doesn't take some day or something that you've gone through to remind you of somebody that you have lost or things that you have lost. That happens all the time, and it should, because when we lose good people that we love, it always impacts us. And it'll impact us until you die, and then your death's going to impact other people. That's not the issue. The issue is when we close off, when we stop, when something happens in our life and everything after that day is just the same. I don't want to move on from this moment. And everything around you is moving on. And people get stuck in a day or an event rather than moving on with God. Naomi sees these same women that it saw her before. That's Naomi. No, you call me Mara. What do they say to her now? That woman that you brought back, she's better to you than seven sons. No, that doesn't mean Ruth, or Naomi rather, stood there and said, "You know what, she is better than my two sons." That's not the point. The point is she did not come home empty-handed. She came home with the fact that God was still taking care of her and helping her, even in the midst of some horrible events that occurred in her life. Sometimes when you're so caught up in the difficulties of this life, you miss the blessings of Almighty God. You miss them. 2020, people are so blinded because they moved the mask from their mouth to their eyes, and you miss it. You miss it. You miss what he has done, even in 2020. I want you to think about, just from this congregation standpoint, we have added families. There are people in this congregation that, waiting of 2020, are going to think about the fact that their child was born. Their child was born. You think they're going to be like, "Oh, what a horrible year that was. My child was born." No. It's all about perspective. That doesn't mean that there's not bad things that are going on or things that are difficult going on. What it does mean is that God is still blessing us today, just like he did Naomi. The struggle, too many people are Mara. Too many people are not seeing what God is able to do, even in the midst of what you perceive to be darkness, even in struggles. Naomi finally saw how blessed she was in her life. It is interesting, obviously, is what is said. In verse 14, "He has not left you without a redeemer." Somebody's, obviously, Boaz is going to help you. There's no question about that. The thing going forward of everything that's about here is that this one that is going to be born, Obed, is in a very important line. He's like the great-great times 40 grandfather of Jesus. He's an important lineage. Obviously, David is important. But you don't think God is working throughout all of this? That Ruth was going to have a son named Obed? And that Obed was going to be the father of Jesse and then the father of David? And it's going to continue on until the Redeemer comes in Jesus Christ. It's understanding that she did not come back empty. And when you feel alone, and when you're going through difficulties and you feel empty, I assure you that you're not. This is temptation for sure. But you are not alone. Naomi walks home, and depending on what version you have, it makes it sound like she never even talked to Ruth on the way back. She said, stop talking to her. Some of the versions will add about that. But she didn't talk to Ruth about the fact that she said she was going to go with her. And she allows herself to become so bitter to the point that she calls herself that. I know that some of you, either that are here watching online, are going through extremely difficult things. I assure you, you're not alone. All of us are going through something, certainly a couple of things in common. The question has never been, are you going through the struggles? The question is, how are you going through the struggles? It's not denying them, but it's also not falling prey to them. It's allowing God to be God, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, and truly trusting Him during these times. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 7, this is, Dane mentioned this actually in his prayer, the God of all comfort, beautiful. We have the God of all comfort on our side. You know what he says about the God of all comfort? It's not the idea that the God of all comfort, who obviously in verse 4 is going to comfort us in all our affliction. He's going to be with us. Paul says he's going to be with me. He's been with me through all the things that I've ever gone through. And he's still gone through them, obviously. But what does he say in verse 4? Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I am comforted by the Almighty God so I can comfort you when you go through the things, when you go through struggles. It's not just simply about you being comforted, though that's obviously important. But it's me looking out to other people and making the most of the opportunity that I have to comfort you, and you do the same for me. How do you move on from something that you're going through? You've got to let people help you. That's a huge step. Pride is a struggle. You've got to let people help you. You certainly need to see God in the picture in all that you're going through. And you need to always continue to see His blessings in your life. We take His blessings so much for granted until they're taken away from us. Sometimes that's death. For some of us that have physical issues, sometimes it's our physical well-being. Then all of a sudden you realize how important they were. I encourage you to make sure that you're making the most of the blessings that you have, that you see what He is doing in your life, even in the midst of darkness. And how it's your perspective of viewing these things that we go through that right now is important for you. It doesn't change them. Didn't change that her husband died, that her two sons died. But at the end of the book, she knows full well that she was blessed. And it's the same for you and I. Jesus, our Savior, tells us this very thing. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. The question is not whether or not you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through difficulties. The question is, are you going to go through them with Him and have peace? This version that I have up here says overcome. The word in Greek is conquer. I talked about this before because I think this is important. Sometimes when we say overcome, it's almost like I barely made it. This is conquer. God has conquered the world. And those of us that are His children are going to conquer this world. And we're going to be with Him for eternity. Don't get caught up in the tribulations. we talked about the last few weeks. The question is not whether or not you're going to go through them. You absolutely will go through difficulties in life. It's life. And certainly as God's children, you may go through other things. Persecution. The question is whether or not you're going to allow it to crush you or whether or not you're going to allow yourself to go through it alone. That's the question. Over the next few weeks, you're going to hear us and certainly see it in other places from our spiritual life. Are you stronger now as a Christian than you were in the beginning of 2020? Before all this nonsense started? For some, the answer is no. No. I've allowed it to beat me down and to impact my eternal well-being for 9 months compared to eternity. For others, and I pray this is all of us, but I'm not naive. We are stronger now because we lean on God, more so now understanding what it means to go through struggles, to go through difficulties, and understanding how powerful and awesome He is. That's the choice. None of us are just the same. Have you continued to grow? Have you shrunk? Have you stopped growing? If you're not a child of God, one of the things that's so important to understand about this world is that you're still going to go through the tribulations and trials of life. You're still going to go through them. But you're choosing, in many cases, to go through them alone, without God. There is nothing like going through this life, understanding this verse that's up here before you, having this peace. Not the absence of problems, but the presence of the Almighty God. If you need that, now's the time. Don't wait any longer. I love, if you didn't see yesterday, Savannah Bell obeyed the gospel. Her dad baptized her in the hot tub. It's not about being in this water right behind me. It's about being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And knowing full well when she came up out of that water, the rejoicing that went on in heaven and the rejoicing that's going on with us, that another soul has been saved. If you have not done that, now's the time. If you haven't been living the life as you should, you've been allowing things to get you down, please, please let us help you. Let us help you. If there's anything that we can do, make sure you let us know as we stand and sing.